Hello and welcome to Two Blokes Trading. Join us, the two blokes, Philip and Petter, as we dive deep into the complex world of financial markets and home trading. Today's episode is sponsored by BizIntra Financial Academy. BizIntra offers sponsored trading programs that have been developed by professional traders. Don't pay a fortune to learn how to trade. Simply sign up by using one of their partner brokers and receive trading education and signals by institutional traders. Make sure you log on to www.bizintra.com/two blokes for everything related to the markets. You won't be disappointed.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Two Blokes Trading. As always, I'm your host in Norway, P-Man, and in Ireland, I'm pretty sure we have Philip Hennigan.
Yo, yo, yo. What's going on, everyone? How are you, P-Man?
I'm doing great, actually. I have a lot of time off now, so I am stuck into a lot of different projects I've had in my head for a good amount of time, but I just haven't had the time to finish them off. So I'm happy to see them come into existence now.
Excellent.
What about you?
Oh, not much at all. I'm just at the computer here now at the moment. I'm just testing out this mic, actually. I'm trying to put it up as close as I can to my mouth because I'm not sure how good it works, but we'll give it a bash. Let's see if I can turn up the volume a little bit on it, maybe. Yeah, that seems to be a bit better there. So I'm just at my computer and finished work, and it was quite a busy day. A lot of interesting stuff going on in the markets, fund-related anyway, especially with this whole Woodford fund, which, I mentioned the day it happened. I was on the podcast mentioning it, didn't I? I told you about the LF Woodford fund in the UK, didn't I?
Something that had, I'm not sure if you told me, Philip.
Neil Woodford. So basically fund manager in the UK, his fund went into, let's say you have a lot of clients on your books and you want to, in this case, the fund manager, he had he had a fund and it was heavily subscribed to by a lot of investors. Some firms really pushed this guy down their investors' throats to say his fund is very successful and he's good to invest in, blah, 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 blah. Specifically Hargreaves Lansdown, which is a huge firm in the UK. His strategies on how he was trading just weren't very good, basically. That's the short version on how he was choosing his positions and how he's managing his clients' money. So people wanted to start getting money out of his fund, and he had to. One firm deducted 200 million in assets in one day, and that just triggered a huge amount of people wanting to get out of the fund. And then it turned out that he wasn't able to liquidate his assets fast enough in order to meet demand of the shareholders, basically. So the fund had to be frozen. And yeah, so that's been going on for the past 2 or 3 months now, I think, maybe 2 months anyway. Neil Woodford is in big trouble. But it turns out that when the shit started hitting the fan, Neil Woodford was able to sell all of his shares and get out. But everyone else is stuck. So he's in a lot of trouble at the moment. So we're still kind of cleaning up his mess. But basically, if you have money in Neil Woodford's fund right now, no matter how it performs, good or bad, you can't get your money out of it now until December. So it was until June. They were maybe the 28th of June. That was the first deadline. They changed that, and then they said you have to come back in August. Now they've changed that, and we've been told anyone contacts us, it's basically December. So Neil Woodford's in a lot of trouble, and he was a trading guru in the UK. Like, he did some really fabulous things. His previous funds when he worked for, I can't remember the previous company he worked for, but he made a lot of money for them. And so he was seen as the market guru, basically the Gordon Gecko of the stock market. But now shit's hit the fan, and yeah, in his fund anyway. So he's not flavor of the month anyway for investors in the UK.
It's just amazing when you go into the industry and see how many actual bullshitters there is. And I'm not just talking about big funds and stuff. I'm talking about for people trying to learn this, FX or equities or learning to trade in general. I've been doing some research on it lately. and the amount of bullshitters out there, Philip, it is crazy. And they're doing a very, very good job as well. So I can see why a lot of
they're everywhere. The industry is flooded with bullshit. That's what irritates me about it. It's just it's nonsense. You know, it's like we're not just talking on the level of learn how to day trade and learn how to do this. Like there are like now, don't get me wrong. Neil Woodford was a very smart guy. He's always managed clients' money, but I think this time he was doing it his own way, like discretionary, and that's where shit hit the fan. Beforehand, he wasn't a discretionary fund manager, if I remember correctly, and he was, you know, managing it very, very, a very different way. I get both ways are obviously professional approaches, but just when he went on his own, everyone kind of saw his performance previously and just thought he could do that again. But this time it was different. And he was up in front of Parliament in the UK, I think. They were like, you haven't learned anything at all since 2008 financial crisis, have you? You're still doing the same shit over and over again. You know, they kind of destroyed him, basically.
I was watching the documentary by, I think it's Matt Damon who's produced it, about the housing crisis in 08.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing all over again. It was just fun because they were working so much against regulation, against the CFDs or the CDOs, or I'm not sure what it was. But after, when the trial was, they all were just sitting there lined up and said, why didn't you guys regulate us? Why? We got too greedy.
That's the truth. Yeah. Just
rinse and repeat.
But like, it's scary times even right now, like looking at where we are in the Eurozone at the moment. Like I sent you pictures of even, you know, like what's Germany's biggest export, or like one of their biggest exports is obviously cars. It's a huge car manufacturer. Look at exports, or look at the amount of cars they're manufacturing at the moment. It's like terrible. It's down at 2008 financial crisis lows, and we haven't even hit a crisis. Same goes for America. And this is all happening. Look at German bank stocks. So look at a spread between all German bank stocks. They're at like almost all time lows, you know, and we haven't hit a recession yet. Then like, there's no mention of recession and this is happening. We have PMIs in Europe all negative. We have certain economies in Europe all in negative territory, in recession territory, but we haven't cloned the term recession yet. We have interest rates that are negative. You know, what is the point of having the interest rates, a lever to pull, you know, when the interest rates are when there's too much inflation, or the economy is growing at faster pace than expected? What do? You hire interest rates to slow things down. You know, that's what they do, but they're negative. They don't even like, they can't even stimulate on having zero interest rates. You know what I mean? It still can't stimulate, and they're gone negative. So what levers do they have to pull? Is it more QE? It's pretty obvious that negative interest rates have destroyed the banks. It's hurting the banks so much. So I don't know what the hell is going on in the Eurozone. This is really, I just don't understand how we haven't had some sort of recession yet. And maybe there is some sort of catalyst that it's going to just, that we need. We need something to trigger it, but that something is just, hasn't actually happened yet. It's just maybe it'll drag on for a while until something big happens in the market, like a bank goes under or a massive fund goes under. Because it took a fund in 1998 to cause, you know, a bit of turmoil in the market. So possibly something has to, I think there has to be a catalyst, basically.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a very good, what's that phrase again? Kicking the can down the street?
Yeah.
My interpretation of this is that they kicked that can way across the field right now and trying to find it. I guess. But let's skip the fluff here, Philip. Let's jump straight into the news. I'm pretty sure that we have a hefty calendar in this week.
Well, we don't really have a hefty calendar of crazy stuff. You know, like there's all we really have. We had some like news out today, which was interesting for the Eurozone. So this new survey, economic sentiment index, you know, not looking very positive at all. Like previous report was -24.5. That's what sentiment was like in Eurozone, like negative. And then their expected consensus estimates to be -28.5, so worse than the previous. But it was even worse than consensus estimates. It was -44.1. So that was not Eurozone positive today at all. Not good at all. Other than that, a bit of inflation news coming out of the US today, which was a bit more positive than expected. Mix that with bad Eurozone data, good dollar data, mixed bag today. But nothing really that was interesting to me. I guess the only surprising one for me was at 8:30 this morning, average earnings excluding bonuses out of the UK was quite positive. Previous estimates were 3.6, consensus estimates were 3.8, and today they got 3.9. So that's interesting to me anyway. So something good coming out of the UK for a change, but didn't have an effect on the price of the currency, unfortunately. Let's see, Wednesday, which is tomorrow, German GDP, obviously it's going to be negative. It's no shock to that there. Just let's see how negative it can be. And when I say negative, previous was 0.4. Now they're actually expecting negative GDP, -0.1 consensus estimates. If it's lower than that, which I don't like to say I hope, because I'm short euros at the moment. And so this would be positive for me if this number is even more negative than consensus estimates. But I'll be keeping a close eye on that. So that's at 6 a.m. in the morning. Of course, a lot of people will be fast asleep at that time. Other than that, let's see news that will really interest me. We already know what Eurozone GDP is going to be like. But this is German GDP, which I was looking at. I'm looking at German GDP, at 6 a.m. And then Eurozone GDP is at our Q2 Eurozone GDP is also then at 9 o'clock in the morning. So keep a close eye on that. I can't see it being positive. Other than that, then Thursday, the unemployment change in Aussie and then the unemployment rate. That'll be worth keeping a close eye on for any bullish or bearish signals that come from that we can get in there with the currency. Other than that, retail sales then out of United States, 12:30 GMT Thursday afternoon. And then one of my favorite sentiment indexes on Friday, Michigan Consumer Sentiment Index. This is the one the previous reading was 98.4. They're expecting 97.2 consensus estimate. So ever so slight drop, but it's not like much. But if it is lower, like if it's like 95 or something, I expect to see some of the risk off, I guess, in the United States. And that's all the news. Moving on,
bro. That's cool. I guess we'll just jump to the technical little section of this podcast. Currently, I'm live two trades. So
yeah, what is that?
First trade is dollar CAD fill. This is this was covered both in the Slack group and on the webinar we had on YouTube. So I'm not going to bore you guys, and I've probably talked about this before on the podcast as well. I'm not going to bore you with the higher time frames, just grabbing this off weekly momentum. So hoping that it kicks in this week or the next. So this is just basically housekeeping for me when it comes to the lower time frames. We got a little oomph from the, so what was it? USTR says additional tariffs on some products will be delayed to December 15. I think that probably, or that caused a lot of volatility in the markets today. So my dollar cap position got a bit of a push to the downside from this one. But it's just hit, I think it was 2%. So stops are moved to break even. So it's a risk-free trade. I'm just going to let this one ride. And as I say all the time, you want to be aiming for a better risk to reward and a 1-to-1 for your trades if you are. So if your strike rate is a bit on the low side, try to maximize your reward on trades. And the second trade I have on was actually a trade. I'm pretty sure Philip knows about this because this was a little tip that I got from Philip. So he was chatting to me about the Norwegian Central Bank and their rate decision coming up in September. So I basically just went into the on the charts to see if I could find some decent setups. for this trade. And funny enough, it was like we were trading at the higher bounds of this range that it's been in since, I don't know, 2017. Mm-hmm. On the monthly, weekly also closed last week with a perfect high test, just piercing into the liquidity zone and got pushed back down again. So that's always nice to hear.
So you got short, so you must be in profit now, yeah?
Oh yeah, this is running in a very decent profit. So
you can thank me with a drink when I see it.
Definitely, Philip. This trade was not from my arsenal of strategies, so this is just something that I took just pure off past experience on different patterns and stuff. But if you go to the lower time frames, there is a head and shoulders pattern that emerged right on the top of this range, and
you got short on the right shoulder, did you?
Yes, on the right shoulder, you see you had a break on the 1 hour trend line there, back up again, tested it with a double top, and then it just collapsed.
Awesome. So, happy for you. So have you moved this to break even yet? Or
This trade is not running at break even yet, but I'm pretty sure in a couple of hours we will move our stops there. And this trade, so if I'm going to play the interest rate hike scenario, I'm probably going to hold this up on for a couple of weeks, maybe into September when the rate hike is announced. So I'm targeting like maybe 7.5% on this trade.
Cool.
So if these two trades decide to pick up steam, then that's my August sorted. That would be nice.
Do you know what? Just to let everyone know, I rang him this morning about this. Was it today you took the trade?
No, it was yesterday.
Was it yesterday I rang you about it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I said, take a look at this for me. I said, this has a decent theme backing it, so have a look. I didn't know you took the trade, but hold on.
Well, it's definitely good to have the fundamentals backing up your technical view. I'm not saying that
it does make things a little bit easier as well, doesn't it? When you realize that you're like, and then when a pattern, it's more confluence. I think you know it makes you more.
So many times, Philip, about fundamentals and technicals and which ones comes first. Like some people tend to believe that technicals foresee the fundamental picture. So. We're going to leave that there because that's going to be one hell of a discussion if we continue. But
yeah.
Thank you for the advice.
All right. Okay. let's move on. Have we anything else we want to talk about? Any questions on the podcast? On the Slack of Hell.
Yes, we do. So let's jump into this questions little barrier here. This is a good question for all you new guys who are starting out trading. I'm not going to read the whole post because it's pretty long, but I have been demo trading for almost a year. I have treated my demo funds as if they were my own capital as much as I can. I have had the long-term goal to get to the point where I am trading a small amount of my own money starting in 2020. Realistically, I am starting to see that my small monthly gain and risk management is at a level where I don't feel worried that I will lose my capital. I am still wary as to my ability to improve my percentage return. I still have a lot to learn. So the question is, did people notice a huge shift in psychology when your own money was on the line? Did people notice that their trading improved, worsened? All input would be appreciated. Thank you. Holy cow. Like,
I can answer that.
What a question, dude.
Huh? I can answer that. Yeah, easily. Yeah, if you want to have a stab at it.
No, just start for
that. Okay. Yes, definitely. You can be... I met a guy before... when I first started trading, and you know, I remember hearing stories of a guy. I remember hearing the story of a guy in Switzerland who turned a live account into 100 from like 2,000 into 140k in 3 weeks, and then went all the way back to zero. And I wondered how he managed to grow it that quickly, but then lose it. But that's taking massive risks, you know, and just betting it all, like a gambling, casino. So I did hear about people who did these crazy returns before. But then, you know, I'm trying to think what point I'm trying to make. Shit, I was trying to tell you a story. Why have I got a memory but I'm blank? Where was I telling that story? Okay. I can figure it out now. So anyway, look, when you have, oh yeah, and that's what I'm telling you. So that guy was a guy who had a live account who made a ton of money and then lost it all. Then I met another guy who had a demo account which had 50 grand in it, and he turned that into 21 million on demo. But when he went live, he was absolutely shite. And he doesn't trade anymore. So I remember meeting the guy who did that. It was like 21 million. And it was just constant all-in type of thing. And like risking 50% and taking tiny stops. And he just was, that, I don't know what he was doing, but it wasn't real anyway. And he had no fear. And that was, yeah, good for him, you know. But when it came to live trading, he was useless. There are many stories of people like that, you know, and there's also my own trading when I first started. It's not real, you know, when you're on fake money, but I think you're absolutely doing the right thing about treating it like real money by trying to be like, you know, I'm not going to take this trade because it doesn't align up with what I think about, you know, the trader, or, you know, the technical analysis is not great, or I don't like the fundamental backdrop of this. Yeah, that's good that you're treating your demo account like that. So that means you'll be better equipped when you go live, and everyone should think that way. Remember, brokers want you to go live as soon as possible so you'll blow all your money. They all do that. You know, they don't want you sitting in demo for years, because that's not what, you're not making them any money by doing that. So, the brokers don't necessarily want you to blow your account either. You know, they get paid spreads and commissions. So they want you to be a slow burner, you know, taking trades a lot and, you know, not always blowing your account. They want you to win some, lose some. That's what they want. Brokers don't really want you to be holding positions longer term or anything like that. They're not making money when you're doing that. They want day traders. But yeah, like I know from my own self, I remember when I went first live that I still remember how I felt. And it was like 20 euros I had on at risk of losing. And like 20 euros, like it's nothing, you know, like it's nothing to, like, I don't know anyone who says 20 euros is a lot of money, but 20 euros wouldn't buy, you know, much. When I had that at risk of losing and I took a loss, I really felt it. I was like, I can't believe I just did that. And that was the start of it. And I guess I remember when I blew my first account, and my first account was tiny, like, you know, I think my first account was like 2 grand. You know, it was nothing. And I remember blowing that up in like no time. Just like doing, but like my risk was ridiculous. Like 400 euros risk on a trade, you know? Just ridiculous, like 20% on a trade. All this type of stuff, that's what I was doing. So I think yes, there is an emotional side. And it also depends on how wealthy the person is and what you represent, or what you consider a lot of money. So if you consider 2 grand as being a lot of money, and that's your savings, but or so let's say to you 2 grand is your money, but you don't consider it a lot of money, but you know, if you go and you have to try and remove the money figure out of it and try and think in percentage terms. So if you can trade a 2 grand account, you know, and you trade the sort of style where you only risk 1% of 2,000 on a trade at a time, you know, if you're a one-to-one trader, you know, you're only ever going to make, like, one-to-one, you're going to make 20 quid in your first position. To a lot of people, like, 20 quid, that's all I made. And it doesn't excite them. It's not sexy. But you're learning to trade, and you have to start somewhere. You can't just expect to be like these guys who are, honestly, full of shit on Twitter. You know what I mean? With their fucking Rolexes and doing all this crap. Like, don't get me wrong, I love Rolexes, but I'm just saying, you know, 90% of the guys who have them on Twitter with trading accounts, I'm not really sure whether, you know, they're genuine Rolexes for a start, and whether they really got them from trading the financial markets. So, but what I'm saying is, I think, you know, you're going to get emotional, but when you get really good at trading, you sort of lose the emotion and you stop thinking about money and start thinking about things in terms of percentages. I think that's the way to go. And before I let Petter talk, I will explain a brief story to you. And this is by a there was a, I don't know if any of you have seen this, the movie Trading Places with Dan Aykroyd and Eddie Murphy, but it's worth watching. And it's based on a true, it's based on semi-truth, I guess you could say. So there was two very successful traders in the 70s and 80s, well, 60s, 70s and 80s, Richard Dennis and I can't remember the name of the other guy. But both massively successful. And one said to the other, and you'll, if you've seen the movie, you'll get where I'm going with this. One said to the other, anyone can trade the markets once they're taught. The other said, no, it's not possible. It's all in the breeding. And so Richard Dennis, Bill Eckhart, I think it was, Richard Dennis said to him, "Well, I'll make a bet with you." So he said, "Fair enough. I'll bet you money that basically I can teach anyone to trade, given the right principle, right set of rules." And the other guy said, "Richard says, no, it's not possible. It's in the breeding." So he said, "I think it was the other way around. Actually, it was Richard who, or Richard Dennis who said, you know, anyone can learn." The other guy said, "No, it's not possible." So he said, "Right, they made a bet." And the rules were, let's send an ad out in the paper and hire all these people from all different backgrounds. They can't have finance backgrounds from trading or anything like that. They have to be complete randomers. And, you know, so they hired all, they basically had interviews for all types of ethnicities. So didn't matter where you came from. One guy was had just been released from prison from dealing coke. You know, all different shapes and sizes. No, none of them were like, and they said, okay, we're going to give you a 3-week intensive course. And over the 3 weeks, once you pass the course, you're out on your own. And we'll give you $1 million each to trade of our own money. And you'll do exactly what we say. If you trade and you're down 50% of your capital, but you've done what we told you to do and you've lost half, that's okay. You've stuck to your rules. If you trade and you're up 50% of your money and you've been doing your own thing, you're fired. So everyone stuck to those rules. And that was fine. The first few years, the fund made a fortune. Richard and the other guy personally banked $100 million each out of it, and they closed the fund after a few years and went their own ways. But the guys were all successful traders at this stage. So they said to them, you sign a non-disclosure agreement where you don't discuss the strategy, and it's for like 5 years, I think it was. You signed up, and it's a 5-year agreement. After that, do what you want, but that you're out on your own now. So all of these people left this firm multimillionaires. They're all very, very wealthy people, but now they're on their own and trading their own real money. Out of them all, only two became successful traders afterwards. The rest blew all of their money because they couldn't handle taking that kind of risk on their own capital. So emotion came into play, basically. So they were great with someone else's money and set of rules when there was no emotion in it. Because Richard Dennis said, if you're down 50%, that's fine. You've been doing what you're told. But when it's your own capital, they start getting emotional and emotionally trading and making mistakes. And, you know, next thing you know, they blew all their money. Now, some did make it, but, you know, there were things like two who became successful. But do you know how the rest of the guys actually made their money? They ended up 5 years later selling their strategy and doing like seminars on how to trade like the turtle traders. That's what they were called. That's the only way they could make money from trading. They weren't successful from trading itself. They were good for him, but not in their own money. So emotion plays the biggest part in trading, in my opinion. And if you can just get the money figure out of your head and try think in percentage terms, you're onto a winner. There you go. Story over.
What a story. What a decent piece of advice, Philip.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm probably not gonna be that thorough, but I'm really passionate about the question that Dan asks, because I think it pretty much is the fundamental, like the first hurdle that a trader has to get across. Mm. Let's see if I can break this down. So you've said that you've been demo trading now for a year, and that's good. Like, believe me, and you're seeing some small monthly gain and risk management at this level, and you don't feel worried that you will lose your capital. You won't lose your capital because you probably have a sound risk management system in place. But I can tell you this, even though you've been trading for a year on a demo, it's going to be a whole different ball game going live. And I'll tell you why. Because emotions are basically subconscious feelings, or yeah, they're subconscious, like your conscious brain has no effect over what happens. So it's something that you have to condition yourself into feeling. And I got very, very metamorphical here. So I think it's very good that you've been demo trading for a year. I would say stop demo trading and lodge money into your account right away. Start with £100 or 100 euros, a very, very small amount. Keep your same risk management parameters, but start to condition your body to get affected by the winners and the losers. So you have to start conditioning yourself for the emotional roller coaster that trading is. And of course, if you have read Trading in the Zone and you have started to learn to think in the ways of probability, that will help you tremendously. But I would definitely say, like, I can't probably give you a lot of advices right now because then the pod is going to be too long. But I would say go live with a very small amount. Keep your risk parameters as they are, and just start to engage in the emotional roller coaster, because you're not going to go out the bat and like out the, you're not going to just fly out the cage right away and have no emotions when it comes to winners and losers. It's just not going to happen, dude. Like, that's how 99% of us are conditioned. We're scared. We have scarcity when it comes to money.
Yeah.
Because most of us, we haven't had a lot of it in our lives.
Yeah, I agree.
So that would be my advice to you. Go live, dude, with a small amount. Keep your risk parameters and get on the roller coaster.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. But aside from that, we're 31 minutes in, so it's time to wrap things up. So just want to say thank you very much for tuning in and listening to this week's podcast. I hope you really enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed the webinars last week. And I just want to say thanks to P-Man also for jumping in with me. It's going to be quite a ride next week. Let's see how your Euro-Norwegian kroner trade does.
Oh, it's going to take a huge dump, Philip, for sure. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And if you like the podcast, you can write us a review or rate us on iTunes. That would be very cool of you.
Cool.
To rank up our podcast for later sessions.
Excellent.
All right. Yeah. See you later, Philip.
See you later, bud. Bye-bye now.
Cool. Bye-bye.